Welcome to episode 6 of She-Hulk, podcast at large. I'm your host, Tanya Todd, here with my co-host and my personal hero, Spider-Dan.
Oh, Tanya, you're my hero. You're my hero. And I have some very, much like She-Hulk this week, I have some very strong opinions that I'll get into, I'm sure, about this episode. I'm very excited. We've got some new guests on, some new faces who I'm very happy to meet as well. So I'm literally green at the gills in a positive.
Well, before we get started, I want to thank Dave Horrocks for sharing Comics in Motion platform with us, not just with this, but he's lent the beat to help spread the word about my banned books project. And I'm just so grateful for his support. I'm grateful to know him. So extra special thanks this week to Dave. We aren't here to talk about banned books. We are here to talk about She-Hulk. But first, let's meet this week's Rage crew. And again, we have Dave to thank for this newcomer. Maff, tell us a bit about yourself and what you do.
I'm Maff. I'm just a kind of a geek, really, to the comics. I was a massive Spider-Man fan when I was a lot younger. Got a bit older, kind of moved away from reading comics, and then had kids. And able to get back into it again. I've got an 18-year-old who's seen all the Marvel movies, and we've got a 3-year-old who I'm introducing him. I tried to get him into Spider-Man, but no, he's a Hulk fan. So, as I say, Dave, I just mentioned that I enjoyed listening to the show and listening along to podcasts when I'm working and I'm kind of having a conversation with you guys, even though you can't hear me. And he says, well, why don't you go on? And here I am.
Well, we're glad to have you. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on this week's show.
Yes.
We also have a repeat guest with us. Ada was in the first episode of Podcast at Large, and she's brought a plus one today. Would you like to introduce yourself again, Ada, for those who didn't hear the first episode, and share Tony with us?
I would love to. My name's Ada McCartney. I'm glad to be here again. I am new to the Marvel fandom and recently reading up on She-Hulk, and I'm glad to be here talking about it again. And I'm so glad to finally have convinced my partner, Tony Holt, to join a Comics in Motion podcast and share his hulking thoughts.
Believe me when I say it didn't take much convincing. Like Matt, I'm an old school Marvel fan from back in the day. Got my start, of course, with the X-Men animated TV series. And then from there, I just started devouring all things X-Men, all things Marvel. Marvel's still one of my favorite kind of comic book empires, as it were. But throughout the years, I branched out into a bit of DC, lots of Vertigo comics. Shout out to the Sandman. Always going to love the Sandman comics. And then as of late, I've been getting back into Black Panther, as well as going out into some more indie comics, which I have another gentleman to speak with about that as well.
Heard Ada's history with She-Hulk. What about you, Tony?
For me with She-Hulk, so as I was listening back to the other podcasts, I too recall the 90s Hulk cartoon, not as much, but that was probably the earliest that I learned of She-Hulk. And then, of course, you know, made a couple appearances in the Fantastic Four cartoons and both of their iterations. My most memorable incarnation of She-Hulk, though, actually is a bit niche, if you will. The Exiles comic series, where early on in the series, Exiles, a team of multiverse hopping heroes taken from a bunch of different places. Love the Exiles, highly recommended. One of those series, another team, they call them Weapon X, reality hopping superheroes from other dimensions. There is an other dimensional She-Hulk who is actually a judge from Texas who appears with the team. That's the most memorable I've seen. The most memorable scene of She-Hulk that I can remember. I still have that comic to the day because I love the Exiles, and I was actually just reading it last night.
No. What about you, Matt?
I vaguely remember bits of it from the Fantastic Four back in the 90s. I got back into it with my 3-year-old. He likes Agents of Smash, so we've got Shulk in there, where she's just She-Hulk, that's it. But I think they've changed her origin story a little bit. She was a stunt fighter, flying planes. But yeah, then obviously the program came out and I started reading the Dan Schultz comic, which is long. It's taken me a while to get through it, but I'm really enjoying that. It's nice to see that they're trying to do the more the law side. They've changed the story a little bit to the TV, and that whereas they want her to be Jen, not She-Hulk, whereas in the TV it's the other way around. But yeah, so I'm really enjoying it.
So what do you think of her introduction into the MCU?
I know they changed the origin. I know they did briefly mention the Maggie kind of syndicate maybe attacking her in a previous episode, but I think if they'd have gone down the blood transfusion route, there would have probably been a lot of negative towards Bruce and that, because he knows what he is. Mm-hmm. So I think the way that they did it, it was quite clever. I didn't mind it. It was fairly quick. But that first episode, it was kind of, this is who she is. Let's get past it and move on. And then they've just done these. The show seems to know what it wants to be. It's kind of taking it not too serious, and that have a bit of fun with this thing. We can introduce some strange characters, and it's a way they can branch the whole Marvel universe out, I hope.
And how about you, Tony?
You know, I echo a lot of that. I too saw the origin story with the blood transfusion. That was always okay. I kind of like how they did the origin story here, the made for TV version. It was, like Matt said, it was quick, simple, straight to the point. I always love a good origin episode, love a good training montage. So that immediately hooked me from episode one. I also have been reading the Dan Slott and who was the second gentleman? I cannot remember the second gentleman's name, who a lot of She-Hulk is also based on. I also picked up the Peter David omnibus as well, who also wrote for X-Factor, and I'm a big fan of X-Factor Investigations and Peter David's work there. I think the show knows what it wants to be, and that they have taken all of the best parts of She-Hulk and integrated them pretty well in a made-for-TV version. I also think that had they reversed it and been true to the comic where GLK and H wanted Jen as opposed to She-Hulk, that it would have set them down kind of a different narrative, one that may have actually had more challenging acting and kind of let Tatiana Maslany show her acting chops a little bit more, which I think is one of the drawbacks I would say of the series. Is it's a little too MCU when we could highlight the acting and focus on the regular people in a superhero universe a little bit more. I think that could be interesting.
Before we get into this week's episode, we're going to have a recap from Dan.
Oh, again? Why don't you do it this week?
Because you're doing it every week.
Okay, I guess. So after last week's end, there was no post-credits tease, but there was a tease in the main episode for Daredevil as we saw the yellow helmet tease. So most people online have not been that pleased because there is a big there's a big divide between people. It's very divisive because Daredevil does not turn up, and they say, and Tatiana Maslany, Jennifer Walters, She-Hulk, turns to the camera and says, this is a self-contained episode, implying that Daredevil is not going to turn up. So it's a wedding. She's going to a wedding. She's been asked by an old friend to be a bridesmaid, and it all happens very quickly for a wedding. I'm pretty sure it takes a lot more planning and involvement. But yeah, it's a very slapdash affair, but it seems very nice. So she goes off and she's happy. She wants to go, and it's kind of like a high school reunion. She wants to be like, I've got my shit together. I'm She-Hulk. I'm successful. I'm amazing. And then she gets there, and the bride, I think it's Lulu, I believe she was called, feels like she's pulling focus from the bride. So she asks her to Hulk out, not Hulk out, Hulk in, I guess.
Hulk in.
Hulk in. She Hulks in.
I like that.
So she Hulks in, and she's kind of a little bit kind of a bit depressed about that. It's not exactly what she had in mind. And she has to be herself. And we find out that she's been given quite a lot of these duties that she could easily do as She-Hulk, but she's not, because she's having to stay as Jennifer Walters. And there's various kind of awkward moments and situations throughout the wedding. And Titania turns up as a guest, which Jennifer thinks that she's there to mess with her, which she is. And the B plot of this story features a character called Mr. Immortal, who I'll talk about a little bit later. And he's in a little bit of legal trouble because he is essentially a bigamist. He has been married several times, but he is superpowered, as this is a superpowered law firm. So he can die and then be instantly resurrected and healed. That is his superpower. So technically, he doesn't have to divorce these people, a gentleman and several women, because he's technically dead, so the marriage is null and void. So that's how he gets out of these marriages. It's a unique trick, and sometimes I kind of think maybe that would be quite useful in some instances, but not in this one. Obviously, very, very bad. As we go on, so that's Mallory and Nikki are dealing with that because She-Hulk is spending the entire time at the wedding. She meets a nice guy named Josh. And there's various other things that go wrong. So she decides to get a bit tipsy as Jen, not as She-Hulk, because she can't get drunk when she's She-Hulk. So she gets absolutely wasted. And then Titania decides to attack her and forces her to Hulk out as opposed to Hulk in. And
force her. It was a choice.
She has a bit of performance anxiety, struggles to transform, and then she does and has a fight. The bride walks in, who we learn is getting married to her dog. Is that right?
No, that was the person that Jen had to, or not person, that's
the groom.
Jen was walking down the aisle. Right. That was the groomsman. Jonathan.
The groomsman. I thought she said it was the groom, and I was like, okay.
Right. No, is you're going to walk down the aisle with.
It's, it would call Jonathan.
Yeah,
it's the MCU. So you know, things could be worked a little differently.
No,
in the
they
MCU.
Were just treating her like crap through the entire wedding.
Pretty much.
Here, clean this and carry this and go to the side. I don't think it was out of line to ask her not to be She-Hulk. I mean, no. You don't wear red to a wedding. You don't wear white to a wedding. You do not upstage the bride.
Okay, all right.
So when you show up as She-Hulk, you are definitely upstaging the bride.
Fair enough. I'm just trying to think now. Where were we? We were. Yeah, they have a knockdown, drag out fight during the wedding. Lulu is actually okay with her being She-Hulk now because she's smashed. And it all goes on social media. So she's very popular. Titania has her veneers knocked out by She-Hulk. She slips up and knocks them out herself. Humiliated all over social media. And she leaves. And then Mallory and Nikki discover during the B plot that there is a kind of a hate group, a incel hate group called the Intelligentsia, who is trying to harass and potentially kill She-Hulk, as there have been death threats, and Mallory makes She-Hulk aware. I'm pretty sure that's where the episode ends, I believe.
See, that's why you're my hero.
Sorry, that was a really long-winded one, but a lot happened in this episode, so, and I'm sure we'll get into it. But yeah, that's effectively this one.
If I may, point of fact, Mallory actually recommends that they not tell Jen what's going on with the Intelligentsia, but Nikki breaks it and leaves a long, winding message on her phone, which, in my opinion, was the right thing to do. Someone's getting death threats online, you gotta let them know. That's not something you keep to yourself.
And I have to say, when I finished watching the episode, I was like, man, nothing really happened here. But listening to your recap, Dan, I was like, oh, wow, actually a lot kind of happened. So thank you for that.
I like to remind people and weave the tale in an audio format. But just watch the episode, guys. It's much easier than listening to me. But yeah, it's an interesting one. Who wants to start?
I'm going to hear from Ada. I haven't heard much from her. And in particular, let's start with the wedding. Like, what did you think of how the wedding was handled, since we've already touched on that a little bit?
Well, I thought the way that she got asked to be a bridesmaid was hilarious. The glitter box, the exploding, the frou-frou.
Accurate, though.
So accurate and hilarious. I was, until you said don't show up as She-Hulk and upstage the bride, Tanya, I was like, man, I wish they would have let her be She-Hulk. This would be way more interesting. And she obviously brought all the clothes for She-Hulk. So why can't they just like let her be? Why are they being so mean to her?
Because it's not her wedding.
Touche. But I don't know. I spent most of the episode being like, okay, why are we here? What's going to happen? It was not my favorite. I'll hold there for the moment.
What about you, Matt?
Yeah, it's not what we expected, especially after how it ended last week. We saw the helmet and we thought, yes, here we go. Nope. It had that vibes of like Mean Girls, bridesmaids kind of thing. They treated her badly. You know, she thought she could come.
It felt over the top to me. Did it feel over the top to you?
A little bit. She kind of came and she was excited. She thought she would finally be, because she always comes across as quite low self-esteem as Jen, and that this has happened to her, and she seems to have kind of now becoming one with it. And she thought she could go show up and show how good she was. She even said to Josh at one point, you know, I just wanted to say that I've got a good job. You know, I've got superpowers. I'm actually being someone and no one cares. And then you kind of think, you do feel bad for her. So there's that undertone of she's still struggling with an awful lot of stuff. And the title where it was just Jen, you got to see more of Jen in this, which I thought really worked. You know, the fact that she's struggling. She's, you know, trying to be these two different roles. Josh, now I don't know whether he's going to be something further down the line. You know, it's one of those where you see someone and they're very nice to you and you think, oh, he must be a baddie.
Because all nice guys are instantly bad.
Definitely. With his nice cheesy chat up lines. But
it's just the too good to be true aspect. It's not all nice guys, but... very convenient that he shows up being exactly what she needs in this moment.
And so into her.
And then it's further down the line, but there's she's been spied on at the end. Now, is that something that he is letting the people spying on her know where she is? It's that question of, it just seems a bit too good to be true. But the, you know, they do treat her bad. I think she just tried to rein it all in, and then obviously Titania comes and decides that she's going to have a bit of a throwdown with her, and there's a little bit of I can't turn, and that we saw that in Infinity War, I think, with Hulk, and then she does turn, and that's one thing I would say I've noticed, the CGI has coming to a lot of criticism. I think when she's got her hair down, the CGI doesn't look so bad. It's when she's in the suit and they've got it all tied up, that's where it looks a bit iffy. But yeah, when she turns and then she goes and she goes to town with her, it doesn't look so bad.
How about you, Tony? What are your thoughts on the wedding?
So I want to go back to a point that Matt said, actually a point that, and that you, Tonya, started us with, how she was treated at the wedding. You know, I, the themes of sexism and misogyny in the series, I think played into that, not in the same way, but more in the line of privilege versus non-privilege, right? If you think about Mr. Immortal, the privilege that he has as a man, as an immortal human being, to to time on all of these different wives and husbands that he's had, right? That same style of privilege as the bride, as someone who is well-heeled, or at least believes that they are well-heeled, comes from money, or at least likes to believe that they have come from money, has that sensibility that I am better and thus I can give you work to do or be mean to you without any consequences. I feel like that really played well in how they treated Jen. And then what Matt said about the struggle, I think that struggle is real, and that struggle speaks well to the Jen Walters comic book character, right? In the, I believe it was the, yeah, in the Dan Slott run, where we see towards the end, I think it's like issue 11, issue 12, where she is battling with Titania, where she is battling with, or even earlier, I think it was like 7 or 8, where she's battling with, I can't remember the gentleman's name, who's one of the strongest men in the universe. She's part of the, she's a galactic judge, and she goes there to have a boxing match.
Oh, is it the champion of the universe?
Yeah.
The champion of the universe. She's got to beef up as Jen, right? She can't beat him as She-Hulk. Then she remembers, oh, but if I beef up as Jen, if I work as Jen Walters, I can beat him. It's that same thing, right? It's that feeling that, hey, there's so much that I've accomplished as Jen and as She-Hulk. How do I get to tell my story when none of these people are letting me, whether it's the patriarchy or whether it's privilege? Right. I thought that played that really well in the wedding, that it was Jen Walters forward, help them play that out. And I really like how that kind of synced up, how those two, those types of privilege that they play against each other spoke well to me.
I'm going to use something you just said as a segue to something I wanted to share. Something that happened in the episode sparked a rant from someone we know. I won't mention her name because she hasn't given us permission to share it in connection with the comment. But if you pay attention to the Comics in Motion anything, I'm sure you'll know who it is. But I think it's important that people hear it. So I'm going to read it to you. She said, "I am hoping that people will be fuming because the episode shows how women can be perpetrators as well as victims of the patriarchy. Because the patriarchy infects all of us and makes women say ridiculous things to each other about their lives and makes women think they are only valid if they are in hetero relationships." And she goes on to touch on the accuracy of that part of the episode. Ada, do you have any thoughts on that particular perspective?
Yes. I have to stop myself from saying the name. Damn, that's accurate. I had to stop myself from shooting off the couch at that moment when, was it Lulu, was like, "Well, I don't really care if you're a high-powered lawyer. I don't really care if you're the She-Hulk, but are you dating anyone?" That felt, I can't even count the number of times that it's been that I've heard that more in some form. Like, "Oh, all these things that you think are interesting don't really matter, but how's your sex life? How's your dating?
Right.
Are there any men in it?" and I thought that was really well played. And to what you were saying earlier, Tony, about how it would be great if we could see more, or maybe it was you, Dan, that said this. I can't remember. Less She-Hulking out would give us more opportunities to see the just acting chops. And as I'm kind of reflecting back over it with that in mind, I'm swayed a little bit. This is the first time we've really seen just Jen, as they said, for such a long period of time. And I think I'm wondering if my initial sort of like fury about that is some sort of internalized patriarchy. Cause now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, man, we did just see Jen for the first time. That's kind of new and interesting. So,
I said early on, I have some very strong opinions about this episode. And my strong opinions are that I bloody love this episode. I thought this is finally exactly what I want from this show. we get an episode about Jen, about her being She-Hulk and dealing with that dichotomy of being a lawyer and being Jen and being She-Hulk, and how other people view her, and how they want her to be, and how they want her to be perceived and act and told what to do. Also, we've got a B plot again about a D-list comic book character.
Yes,
finally. But also the two stories intersect, like Tony was saying, they intersect in a way and show both sides of that feminist argument, that patriarchy. We get both kind of sides of that, and it made for a really excellent episode. We also get Titania having a smackdown. We didn't have any superheroics in the last episode, so I was like, oh, finally, fight. This is what, you know, as much as I enjoy all the lawyering and everything, and Ms. Marvel, I didn't even really care for the superheroics in Ms. Marvel, but I bloody love this. And I said last week, I'm like, oh, I don't expect it to get much better. I'm probably just settled in now. This is going to be it. It's just going to be, you know, but this episode.
That was a pretty good.
Yeah, it was a pretty good impression of of myself, you know. And Dennis was so, very opinionated last week, and he had, you know, very strong opinions, and, you know, he's entitled to those. This week, he loved this episode as well. So, you know, so we've been turned around, you know, that negativity is we put in our positive hat on again. And I just thought I want episodes like this all the time. We haven't had any real episodes where we've got to know Jen apart from the first episode. It's been guest spot, you know, some stupid case with no kind of comic book characters or anything. Like everything for this episode just came together. And I found as a male, you know, I know you guys have been saying, you know, oh, as women, we have these conversations. I get it too. There's been so many weddings I've been to, you know, like, oh, have you come on your own? Or, you know, are you seeing anybody? And I'm like, no, but I'm doing this. I've got a great podcast going on. And, you know, I'm managing to hold a job down. And they're like, great. Yeah. Bye. You know, I've had the experience.
But are you doing anything we find valid?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have to get married and have kids soon because your clock, I've not got a biological clock like, you know, women do, but there is that thing where it's like the older you get.
Oh, is that true? Well, women do, but men don't.
I mean, technically, I guess we all have a, you know, it's different. It's different. Okay. You know, but yeah, like there is that as well. And I'm
again, that to every 30-year-old single man I know.
I'm going to get myself in trouble.
And I was just about to sing your praises.
No, you know what? You know what I mean?
No, listen, as a bonus, I didn't know you liked this episode. You kept that spoiler.
I did. I did. See? See, it was a secret all along. I thought it was
Return of the Secret Boars.
I can do it. I can do it. But you know, I there was a lot that I liked about this, and I found it relatable. And you know, there's the awkward conversations at weddings, and how you're supposed to be, and how you present yourself, and how people expect you to present yourself. And you know, I was at a wedding not so long ago. Well, I say not so long ago. It's probably about eight years ago now. I've got a couple of weddings. I've got a couple of weddings coming up next year, and I'm sure I'll have the same sort of experiences that Jen has had in this. And in that one, I brought somebody that I didn't know very well, you know, as a plus one. I asked for a plus one. I just literally broken up with a girlfriend like weeks before, and I was like, oh, I can't go alone. I've asked for this plus one. They paid for it, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'd managed to find somebody, and she went mental and ran across each wedding table. And they were like, why did you bring a WWE wrestler to my wedding? And I was like, how was I supposed to know she was going to do all this? It was fun. It was a great wedding. The bride didn't appreciate it, but I had fun.
No,
she didn't. Again, pulling focus from the bride.
So you brought She-Hulk to this wedding is what you're saying?
You're right.
Yeah, in not so subtle terms. Yeah. So yeah. Long story short, this is a good episode.
I got to ask, did they happen to reevaluate the metrics by which they doled out the plus ones after that episode event?
Definitely. Okay. These next few weddings I'm going to, it's safe to say I've not been given a plus one. I'll say.
I do. I will say that I agree with you. I think that they captured that awkward wedding vibe very well. Especially, and I will say, the DJ and the hit single that came out from it, love it. I'm sure you've all heard the hit single coming from it, from that the episode, right? Have you heard that? You guys haven't heard that yet?
I had not heard that.
The hit single from the DJ, the Enchantable Hulk. I'm at the wedding party blowing up on a Thursday. Jen's in the back and she's thirsty. Party blowing up on a Thursday. Titania, she's just not worthy. Hit single.
You know, we're keeping him.
Hit single. Enchantable Hulk. All day.
Now I'm embarrassed. God. No, don't be. That was great.
Oh, do not be embarrassed. That was choice material here.
I'm gonna have Dave sample that and make a song out of it. You know, he's gonna mix it. He did it with one of the rants from our special guest quote. So I think we can do it with that as well.
Yes. I got a better mic if you need one.
So we touched on this a little bit, Dan, but I really want to know, what did you think of the Mr. Immortal case? Because that actor, I think his name is David Pasquese. Mm. Is that it?
Mm.
He usually plays characters that I love. Like, I just sit there wishing for his death, but there was no satisfaction in that this week.
So Mr. Immortal, just to go back into the Marvel trivia, Mr. Immortal is from a group called the Great Lakes Avengers, who are basically a loser group of Avengers that were kind of...
From Michigan?
Yeah. So they were monitored by Hawkeye, who's obviously from the West Coast Avengers, and they were kind of looking after them and kind of training them and stuff. And you had characters in there like Flatman, who was very much like Mr. Fantastic, but flat. You had Doorman, who could teleport, but only into the next room. You had Big Bertha, who was a beautiful supermodel, but then when she transformed into a plus size woman and had kind of the strength of kind of like the Blob character from X-Men, that sort of thing. And there was a reptilian lady called Dinah Saw, who was a dinosaur person, basically. So all created for laughs, all created by John Byrne as well, who again wrote She-Hulk, and she was actually in those issues as well, I think, of West Coast Avengers, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later. But yeah, so he's a heroic character, but in this they kind of spun it and made him obviously a negative character, a bad character, a irresponsible character. And I did quite enjoy that he'd just kill himself just to get out of awkward conversations, because there's been some awkward conversations, mostly at weddings, where I died inside or wanted to die. So in some ways, that power would be quite useful in those situations. Again, not marriages.
Do you think he was a good choice for this, for the show?
I think they've gone with a very different interpretation, because the original character is a bit of a loser. He's a bit younger. Apparently, he's lived a lot longer. Maybe, I mean, obviously, this character's lived quite a while because he's had maybe 10 marriages at this point. But I didn't mind it. I wasn't like, it's a character again where I'm not like, it's not like the comics, so it's shit. I was like, it's a minor character. It's a comic book character that they're using really, really well. I love the court case. I love that the lawyers don't care for him, but they will still defend him. And they're kind of shaming him again. And I think this episode as well, like we talked about it before with the misogyny of She-Hulk and the handling of that. And I think this episode does that really well. And like we said, with the patriarchy and the heteronormative relationships and things like that, I think this is one of the best episodes for that. It wasn't too preachy or too heavy-handed. I think they got the balance just right. But I absolutely love the B story, unlike most of the weeks where I've hated the B story.
Mm.
What were you going to say, Tony?
The Great Lakes Avengers, if I recall correctly, they were spun up during Civil War, right? When Tony Stark was creating a bunch of Avengers teams around the country, they were, and if memory serves, they were based in Grand Rapids, Michigan, right?
I think so.
I think they were. Yeah,
my U.S. geography is not great, so
I'm a Detroit native. So when I found out about a Great Lakes Avengers team, I was like, "Wow, that's awesome!" And then I found out who was on the roster, and I'm like, "Oh, that really sucks."
It's a representation. Never mind.
Yeah. oh well. I think later on as well, they lost the rights to the Avengers name, or they couldn't have it during Civil War. So once they realized they were all mutants in the comics, they renamed themselves the Great Lakes X-Men.
horrible branding.
Oh my gosh.
But you know, Spider-Dan, you raise a good point. I too think that they're hitting it on the callbacks, right? One of them that I just got confirmation this week, her peer lawyer, Mallory Book, a representation of the GLKNH lawyer Mallory Book in the comic books. And I love that they brought that character in. I think she's a great foil, at least in the comics. She's a great foil for the lawyer that Jen could be if Jen only wanted to be a high-powered attorney, right? And in the book, their relationship is dynamic, to say the least, if not adversarial, especially when Peter David takes the helm and runs She-Hulk through the paces. Mallory Book is right there in her business, has some, you know, no spoilers, but Mallory Book presents as a friend, but there's some question about that toward the end of that Peter David series. So I'm very interested to see where they go with that Mallory Book character, something that I will save for a question that I have later.
What about you, Matt? What were your thoughts on the B story and Mr. Immortal?
I loved it because I just like the way they kept coming. You know, they'd have all the wives and the husband, and then they'd turn and they kind of have this conflict between each other, and like, no, you're screwed, and, you know. And it was great to see them both, the fight in his corner, but making sure that he pays as well. The bit where there's a one of the, when Nikki gets on and she's saying, right, you can have this, you can have that, you can have, you know, you can have 15 seconds of eye contact. And he's like, 15 seconds? And she's 20 seconds. And it was just, you could see the fact that, yes, she's fighting his case, but she realises he's a bit of a dick. And
yeah,
we're going to win it for you, but we're going to make you pay. And that, and it was nice to see that they, you know, that they did want to represent him in the right way, but make sure that he paid for his, you know, what he's doing, and hopefully he won't do that again. Yeah, right. But especially that I like when there was actually just him and Mallory and Nikki, and he didn't like the conversation where we were going, and he just ran and jumped out the window. Which then obviously showed everyone in the world, because they're all filming him just getting back up, and that's when all the wives and the husband appeared. But yeah, it was a good little B plot.
And nothing irresponsible about jumping onto the street like that. Like you could hit someone, you could cause an accident that kills a lot of people.
Marvel doesn't think of things like that.
And that car was conveniently empty. Was there no one in the car he smashed?
Right.
That car, actually, if anyone is looking out for the QR codes, there is a QR code on that car, just where it says security. There's so you can scan that, you actually get the West Coast Avengers comic.
Nice.
How about that?
There we go. It's all tying in together. It's all tying
yes.
in.
Yes.
There you go. You can
Did
read
you have
it.
Anything more to say, Ada, about Mr. Immortal?
Oh, I love the B plot. I've been waiting for Nikki to have her moment to shine since the first episode. I love her, and I love the rapport she was starting to build with Mallory Book, who, as I've started reading the comics, I've just been so entertained by, and it's interesting to see kind of how that's manifesting in the show. So I think that was my favorite part of the episode.
I agree.
I feel like this is a good place for the case of the week, Dan.
Yes, I was just about to say, speaking of the West Coast Avengers, this week's case of the week, when I find it on my phone, here it is, She-Hulk's criminal case of the week. The state of California versus Martin Preston, Master Pandemonium. Preston stands accused of two counts of child abduction and endangerment. quite a serious crime for quite a silly name. So Martin Preston is an actor, much like the Jester from last week. He was a successful actor, unlike the Jester. And he was involved in many B-movies, including The Two-Gun Kid Meets Dracula, and was very successful. However, he had a drinking problem and drunk and drove and had an awful accident, which led to him almost dying and losing his arm. And then, as he was dying, Mephisto, everyone's favorite devil and demon in the Marvel Universe, appeared to him and said, "I can save you, but you've got to give me your soul." And he went, "Yeah, have it. You can have my soul. It's fine. I don't want it anyway." So he takes the soul and he attaches and grafts a demon to his arm as an arm. But he doesn't stop there. He attaches another one, and one on his leg, and one to the other leg. So all four limbs are now demons. And not only that, he has a hole in his chest in the shape of a pentagram. And he says that, Mephisto says that he's spread his soul in five different fragments, and he must collect them from these individuals and places until he is complete and can get his soul back. So, yes, he made a deal with the devil. After this, he finds another individual and another individual, and he manages to collect two portions of his soul and comes in contact with the Avengers, the West Coast Avengers. So Hawkeye, Tigra, Iron Man, Wonder Man, Scarlet Witch, all those kind of people. And during these subsequent battles, he meets them again. But at this point, he absorbs both of the Scarlet Witch's twins into his own body, because he believes that they are two portions of his soul, because she has created these children out of magic. But however, it's all a big ruse, because Mephisto has tricked him, as devils do, and he has actually been collecting portions of Mephisto's soul, because he was destroyed by the Fantastic Four's child, Franklin Richards. He just basically thought and he blew up. And he wanted him to collect all the souls and make him full and powerful again. And not long after that, he is found by Speed and Wiccan of the Young Avengers, who are the inheritors of the souls of the Scarlet Witch's children, but have other human parents. It's a whole comic book confusing thing. And he's basically really pathetic. He can't eat by himself. He needs people to bathe him and look after him. He's going a bit wackadoo, and he's having some mental problems, and he's not great. And then much later on, he is found by one of the Ghost Riders, and he's even struggling to eat his breakfast cereal because the demons that are his arms are trying to drown him in his own breakfast cereal. So, he's a bit of a saddo. However, the Hellfire Club also hired him to teach, what was it, hell literature or devilish literature in their school. So things are looking up for Master Pandemonium. But there you have it. That's Master Pandemonium. Obviously,
like a spinoff.
Master Pandemonium. He also made an appearance recently in the MODOK show on Disney Plus, if you want to go watch that. I think he has a talk show, and again, two arms for demons. I think they attack his guests or attack him. I can't remember. But that's your She-Hulk criminal case of the week.
That's crazy.
Pandemonium, you could say.
Yeah, you got me on that one.
Oh, dear. So I wanted to ask, was anybody really disappointed that Daredevil didn't turn up, or were you that bothered?
I wasn't expecting him this week.
Yeah?
I didn't even understand why everyone was freaking out.
Yeah, I can wait for Daredevil. I've waited this long for Matt Murdock's return. I can wait longer.
Yeah, I think, and I know she does say this in the episode that you expect, I think it works. There's quite often you get halfway through a series and there's that lull of there's an episode that shouldn't really be there, but they put it in anyway. I think this one works. One of the best parts of the episode I actually enjoyed was the bit where she's just dancing to Broken Glass, I think it is, and you can just see her, just she doesn't give a care. She's just she's drunk, but she's just having a time of life. And it was nice to see Jen. And I think, as I say, that this episode, it worked. It broke it all up. You still had your B-plot case of the week, but it showed us more of Jen, and I really enjoyed it. I think it worked. Daredevil, it's probably going to be next week, maybe, and that, who knows. You know what Marvel's like? There might be just, you know, a bit of carrot on a stick, and it'll turn up for 5 minutes in the last episode. Who knows? But no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good one.
What were you saying, Ada?
I don't remember, but what you were saying, Matt, made me think of, I want to talk about the costuming in this episode for a minute. And one of the most effective sort of aspects of the episode in my mind was, so last week we got this whole thing about, you know, get new clothes, show some respect for yourself and whatnot. And then she's got these new outfits that she's so excited about to look sexy in. And then when she shrinks back down to Jen, the costuming is such that she really, it's such a perfect iteration of like a little girl playing dress up in mom's clothes that I thought it just served to enhance everything else about that sort of mean girls kind of not fitting in elements of the episode, and just give her this kind of like little kid vulnerability that I thought it was a really powerful choice. And also with all of kind of the drama around the costuming last week and how we didn't get to see it at the end, like I really, really wanted to see it at the end of last week. But I think kind of holding off until this week, I had these huge expectations about like, what is the suit going to be? Is it going to be this, the like white and purple leotard that she ends up having? Is like what? And it's just this like really sexy cocktail dress that doesn't actually shrink to fit Jen Walters. And I thought it worked really well.
Well, I think there will be a reveal for her hero costume, but it just wasn't the week for that. You brought up an important thing about her looking like this little kid. Did you also notice that all of the other women were taller than her when she shrunk down? So she looked even tinier in comparison. So she's gone from this huge She-Hulk presence to just this tiny little woman.
Yeah, this
everyone's
is
everyone's nodding. No one's saying anything for the podcast.
Yes.
We're all nodding. Yes, nod. Visual. The thing
yes.
is, we don't
they
use
can't
the video.
See you.
I was gonna say this is kind of what I wanted, or that I thought was implied at the end of that Wrecking Crew episode with her thinking maybe that Jen is a negative aspect to Ed. Nobody wants Jen. Nobody's interested in Jen. But everyone wants to see She-Hulk. Wants to be She-Hulk. Wants to be with She-Hulk as well. And we get a real insight into her loneliness, I think, in this episode. And you know, that's why the advances of Josh are so welcome, because she's like, oh, he's interested in me, not She-Hulk. Oh my God. You know, he wants to talk to her and says she's beautiful. And obviously it might be, you know, like we said, too good to be true potentially. But I also like that she calls Bruce, because she is lonely, not romantically just right. lonely. She's lonely for...
She just wants a friend.
Yeah, she wants to talk to somebody who understands this better, being a Hulk, than Bruce. And obviously he's not available. He's off gallivanting around the galaxy, whatever you want to call it. And I really appreciated that moment, because, you know, there's so many, you know, I went to another wedding reception recently and I felt a little bit out of place, and I felt a little bit, you know, kind of not ostracized, but I felt like, you know, everyone's got their little cliques and stuff, and you don't really know anybody. You know, you still make the effort and you talk to people you don't know and stuff, but there's still that, you know, there's a little bit of that. So I think I really...
They're handling the loneliness part very well, because she does have people, but that doesn't mean she's not lonely. She
exactly.
can't talk to everyone about everything.
Exactly. You can be, you know, that's what they say. You can be surrounded by a dozen people, but you can still feel like the only one
You're
there.
You're all alone.
Yeah. So I think that was really good.
I think the line that she said summed it up really well. Everybody thinks She-Hulk is amazing, and I just want it to be amazing for one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good point.
And we see her struggling, and she can't, they keep giving her all these tasks, all these things to do. And then, and again, like as She-Hulk, she wouldn't have any issue with this. She'd be like, yep, very easy, very, you know, done, dusted. Don't worry about it. I can carry all this. I can move this. I can do that. But as Jen, she doesn't feel, she feels out of place. She's not sure of herself. She's not confident. And this is exactly what I wanted from the show from the get-go. But unfortunately, we've had the kind of guest spots and the things. We've not had a real spotlight in Jen. And I just feel it is a filler episode, technically, but it's one that works, I think. And I think it coming here, I kind of wish we'd had more of this throughout the series. But
it's character development. We're seeing how she feels on the inside.
Absolutely. And I've wanted
so that. I don't think it was a filler. I felt that this episode was very intentional. I think it was intentional that they have this handsome guest, you know, cozying up to her, and they have these convenient cutaways from, you know, these evil people putting together a case with a very uncomfortable looking needle. And then they have this cutaway to the handsome guy talking to her. That was intentional. They want us to question whether he's a good person or not. They give us this teaser about Daredevil, and then they don't have him at all in the episode. I think they want people freaking out about this. They want it trending. They want people losing their minds over this. And I have to tell you, I wasn't even expecting him this week. So when I saw him trending, I was like, oh no, now I know he's in the episode. I didn't want to see that spoiler, but I don't have the luxury of staying off social media on a Thursday when I have a project that I have to post every day. And then I watched the episode and he wasn't even in it. Like, I'm thinking, oh, is there a post-credit scene? No, there wasn't.
Years ago, there was a hashtag and it was, now that Cher is dead. But people misinterpreted it as that, but it was actually, and people were like, oh my God, Cher's dead. I can't believe it. But it's now Margaret Thatcher is dead.
Oh.
So you can't trust a hashtag. Never trust a hashtag, Tonya. So there you go. But it was a huge
like hashtag therapist.
That's
a therapist.
Speaking of a therapist, when you were talking about the glitter box for the wedding, it reminded me of Arrested Development with Tobias Funke, because he's sending his his CV out, his acting CV out to everyone, and it explodes with the glitter like at the people. And they're like, yeah, don't hire this glitterati person, or don't hire Tobias Funke. The start of the episode reminded me exactly of that, so I got to laugh.
That is a brilliant pop culture connection. I love that.
Yes, the analrapist. That was my favorite. He's an analyst and a therapist together. He's an analrapist. He's like, a what?
Oh my goodness.
That was a bit of an off-color joke. Sorry. There you go.
So, Math, any final thoughts or predictions for where this is going?
Predictions I'm scared of saying, just in case. But,
fear not. I'm all the way in the United States.
You're not safe, Math. Trust me.
I think the casting, Marvel just seems to always get that right. Going back to Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, the last who played her was brilliant. I think Tatiana is fantastic. She really, really pushes the show. And I think this was the episode that really did it for her as well. You know, we got to see her. We weren't just looking at this big green person. We got to see who she was. And that predictions of what might come up, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see Daredevil next week neither. I think they might leave it and do like a two-part for the last two episodes. Kind of bring it in there. Would be nice if they release them both together as well, but I don't know if they'll do that.
I don't see that happening.
They want, like you said, you want it trending every week.
But I mean, if we the Netflix Daredevil never got the suit till the final end, the last episode, so we may not see if she does get a suit, does she? Until the end episode. The one thing I would say is we. we've now got Luke, who's the new fashion designer. Does that mean we don't have Melvin anymore, the gladiator, who designed...
Melvin Potter.
Yeah, he designed Daredevil's suit. That'd be a bit of a shame. But no, I think the way it's going, I love it.
I think they'd make a good comedy duo. You know, you get the serious, massive, hulking gladiator and Luke together, working together and combining their talents would be amazing.
It'd be good to see Melvin sat there sewing whilst, you know, Luke's doing something even more, you know. Yeah. You know, it's
and he's like scared of Luke. He's like, right, okay.
that would be very fitting for how he is. But yes, no, as I say, I'm loving the show.
How about you, Ada? Oh, I'm sorry, Tony. Go ahead.
I was going to jump in here because I've got final thoughts, predictions in the form of a question. And I formulated this before I found out that everybody loved today's episode, which is great. Up until this episode, from my assessment of the podcast, it was kind of a middling series, right? Scale of 1 to 10, probably more fours than sixes, yeah? So my question would be, what needs to happen over these last two episodes for there to be a step change? If you're at a four, what needs to happen for it to go from a four to a six? If you're at a six, I'd be at a six. What would need to happen for it to go from a six to an eight, right? For
me, as a storyteller, I would say they need to raise the stakes.
Okay. Say more. What stakes specifically would you like to see raised?
I mean, what happens if things go wrong in the episodes we've seen so far? Not a whole lot. No lives are really on the line. Mm. Her career isn't on the line. Like, there haven't been any big emotional stakes. There have been very real world stakes, and those are still important. But if we're going to take it up a notch, it needs to feel more important. Now, I'm not criticizing. I don't think that they've been fours. I don't feel like they've been fours. I don't think it's a 10, but I'm closer to you with these are, you know, sixes. And I think that's because they know what they are. They're not trying to make it an ultra serious Infinity War Endgame level event. It's a sitcom series, and it's okay to be that. And people who are getting all up in arms about it, like, it's not your show. Just, you're not into fun. So go do something else, you know?
That's so polite. Yeah, like so that. Polite of you. Go do something else.
Well, I could be like Rhea and say, like, jog off.
Jog on, jog off.
What about you, Dan? What would make this a step change improvement for you?
I think if we have another episode like this, like really solid, kind of, again, the B plot is just as good as the A plot, and they marry together really well, and they do more of everything that's in this episode. I think I need another one of those just to know that they can do it consistently. Like, if we're looking at season two, I want that just every week, that. But maybe the last, what are we on? We're on episode six, is that right? Six, this is, so we've got three episodes left. So I imagine next week will be another one-off, and I think maybe a two-parter, and I think that's when we'll get maybe Daredevil will come into it. Maybe we'll get more of a serious superhero plot. You know, maybe we'll see where this Intelligentsia thing goes. I don't want to say too much about the Intelligentsia in the comics, because I think that's potential spoilers for Tonya potentially, but it could be... They could do something totally different with it as well, because they've done that with the clandestine in Ms. Marvel. It wasn't anything to do really with the ones in the comic. So, but yeah, I think another episode like this, solid, you know, something that just works on all the levels that this one does, and then a nice kind of solid two-parter just to see where that goes.
Ada, what about you? What would make this a step change improvement?
Two things. Right now, I'd say I'm probably at like a 5, maybe a 5.5 with the series. Where have the end credit scenes gone, and are they coming back? That is my favorite part. I am so disappointed that we haven't had it for the last two episodes. So disappointed. Will they make a comeback? Second thing, a desire. I want to see Southpaw. In reading the comic books, she so far is my favorite character, hands down. Misguided teenager rebelling against her grandpa, dead parents, And then her grandpa sets her up with this, with She-Hulk as a mentor. And in having to mentor this young woman, Jen realizes that she can integrate, that she, that her real power lies in integrating She-Hulk and Jen. Mm. And I think that that's what I'm missing. A lot of our subplots. Yeah. That's what I'm missing. Those two things.
Yeah. Southpaw, also mm-hmm. a lefty, and she's strong with the left. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Math, what about you, man? What would make this a step change improvement for you?
I think the courtroom side, I would like to see Jen really push a courtroom case. I thought at one point maybe she would go up against Matt Murdock, but they're both defense lawyers, so that's probably not going to work, but maybe they'll work alongside each other. Mm. I would like to see maybe... She just seems a bit lost in what she wants to be. Now, whether they're going to come down to a point where they'll give her an option of, you know, she has to make a decision. Does she want to be She-Hulk, be the hero, or does she want to be the lawyer? She wants to be the lawyer, but now you can see things are changing a little bit. Is she going to have to make that decision? And that. So I think she needs to have a bit more of a, you've said that there's no danger at the moment. Now, whether I think it'd be too cheesy if they kind of take, let's take Nikki, and you know, you then have to, like they're trying to inject her to get her blood. If they do that, I'd be very disappointed, because that's just a trope. But maybe where she does have to make a strong decision like that of, you know, does she carry on being who she wants to be this lawyer, or does she become a hero? Or maybe a mentor.
Can't she do both?
That's good. I like that. Mm. I like that. For me, I've got four things that would make a step change improvement. They bring back Banner and Emil. They have a fight, and She-Hulk has to come in and kick both their asses. That would be awesome. Savage She-Hulk. We end the series with Savage She-Hulk season two. Savage She-Hulk trying to get back to being Jen Walters. Trying to get back to being in control She-Hulk. Three, if they end the series where she is trapped as She-Hulk. I love that arc that they had her both trapped as She-Hulk as well as on the other end trapped as Jen Walters. I would love to see that come in. And then the fourth one, this one's kind of a long shot, but I've always thought from the beginning, what if Jen breaking the fourth wall is her talking to She-Hulk, right? They had that idea in the beginning where Banner was like, you really don't feel like there's someone else behind there with their hand on the wheel. What if breaking the fourth wall was her talking to She-Hulk, right? Right? That could be cool.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of those four things. I would also say, like, if they played more with Miranda Book, or with Mallory Book, maybe Mallory Book, maybe there was a reason they didn't want, she didn't want Nikki to say anything about the intelligentsia, because Mallory Book is in on it. Mm-hmm. That could be cool.
Yeah.
That could be cool. So those four things, maybe five things I would say would be that step change improvement for me.
Nothing like having your guests show up more prepared than you, huh, Dan?
You shamed us.
He just took over. Here's my 4-point plan for improving this year.
Where's Tony's podcast? That's why I'm asking.
Right. Well,
same. Big same.
One of us.
Tony and Ada team up for a podcast. I want to see that.
That's
a Marvel team up right there.
That's your name. That's your couple name. Ta-da.
Watch out, world.
There you go. Amazing. Well, I think that's a lovely place to end. Thank you for that.
Yes.
For that, Tony. I think you've summed up everything. Math, where can people find you on the social medias if you want to be found, that is, on online? I mean, some people don't. It's fine. It's okay.
No, I'm old. I have Facebook. I do have a Twitter, but I never really use it. So, no. I may be popping up again soon on the Comics in Motion with Jax and that, doing the Statham anthology that he's doing.
Oh, nice.
Moment.
To the filmography.
Yes. But yeah, so I may pop up again at some point, but no, I don't really do social media that much.
Yeah, fair enough. That's fine. But yeah, you're more than welcome on this show again, or my show, and I'm sure Tonya will have you on. She's nice sometimes, depending on who, depending on who you are and what you've said and what you what you've spoiled. Yeah, that
is, it is overrated.
Right, Ada, where can people find you and all of your thoughts?
You can find me at www.aamccartney.com. That's www.aamccartney.com. And that will link you to social media and my current projects.
Cool. Tony?
You know, my social media profile is pretty low, but with how well this podcast went, and I thank you all very much for being so kind to me, I would like to be doing more of this. So stay tuned for that. I also am working to get back in. She-Hulk and the MCU have got me back into my comics game, and I am working on getting back into my writing game as well. With some writing projects coming up. One of them, Tanya, I'll be working with you on, which I'm very excited on.
Ooh.
So nothing to find today. My social media profile is pretty low, but hopefully that changes in the future.
Mm. No spoilers, but a few teasers. I like it.
Yes.
No spoilers.
You must be referencing the project with the other Tony, which will be like TNT, right?
Yes, ma'am. And I'm excited for it.
It'll be dynamite.
That's right. Those are my initials, TNT.
So, Tonya, you've got something very special that's been going on all week. Why don't you tell people about this? Because I think it's amazing and really, really important and an incredible kind of journey and adventure you've been going on. And I've been loving it. So tell people about that.
I have been working on Banned Books Conversations, and Ada was a part of that. She will be on tomorrow's episode, which I think will be yesterday for when this actually airs. It's Banned Books Week right now, and I went through 7 different books with 7 different panels, and we discussed why it's important to read banned books, which books, you know, were banned and why we think people ban them. Really? Like, why do they really ban them and what we can do about this? Why it's important to have these conversations, why it's important to keep banned materials available to the public. And I've had wonderful, amazing help behind the scenes from people like Dan and Dave and Jax and Jack and Tony and Mike Burton and my roommate who actually put the videos together for me. So I thank all of you. And I didn't even know how much help you guys were going to give me before I uploaded all the videos. And now I feel like my last video seems like I'm not thanking anybody.
Who cares? Who cares? It's all right.
I mean, there's been so yourself. Much behind the scenes. Yeah, that's totally me.
It takes a
there's
village.
There's been so much behind the scenes scrambling from other people helping that nobody will quite understand just how much work went into this, because you guys were so quick with the fixes, and I appreciate you all. And I have been thoroughly convinced to do this again next year, so I would love to have you guys on.
Amazing. Well, I can't wait. I've not listened to a single one, but I'm just going to have a day where I just binge it all, because I'm a good.
How have you managed to not listen to them but still find clips to post?
Well, I have to listen to do that, but I just kind of, you know, I just kind of go, does that sound all right? That sounds pretty good. That sounds on brand for what
I haven't ingested any of them. I guess I should have probably mentioned where to listen to these things.
That would be good as well.
But not telling you how, just, it's a secret. How do you find the secret?
I know you can find it at Tonya Todd on YouTube. And yes, I know you
if you
can
want the
find...
video version, you find it there. If you want the audio version, you can go to Comics in Motion podcast, which... Even though there are rules about posting too much stuff in a day, Dave's posting it every day anyway, because he's awesome like that. And you can find it on the Pop Gorillas, because they all love banned books and reading and literacy and literature. And they have been amazingly supportive in making sure that there is no excuse to not get this information.
There you go.
Important conversation to have. Absolutely.
Knowledge is power. You can find me places, Spider-Dan and the secretballs.com, www.bores. I've got some stuff coming up. I've got Shock Phobia Fest this Halloween that Tonya's going to join me for as well. And we've got our Disney discussions with Mike, Megan, and Rhea. That will be out next Friday as well. And yeah, we're going to be discussing some Disney films that Disney doesn't want you to see. So nice, dark, and disturbing with child beheadings and abductions. Lots of fun.
I'm here for it.
you have no idea what it gets.
Did they give away spoilers? Is that why?
I mean, yeah, but I mean, I can say, I've said, I'm sure.
Well, then they had it coming.
Yeah. But all of those, I will say, all the films that we're going to cover for that Disney discussion is going to be on my feed, and it is also on, they're all available on YouTube currently, so go watch them. Dragon Slayer, Something Wicked This Way Comes, and The Watcher in the Woods. So go on there if you want to watch it and then listen, or vice versa, whatever you want. But we have come to an end once again. The witness's testimony has been heard. The jury have given their verdict. This case is dismissed.